so important that we hold on to our doctrine, which you know that I've said is already in our day a kind of dirty word where no one, you know, one says, don't give me doctrine, you know. This is something that's not appreciated today. And yet you're going to see tonight how important it is that we do this in light of the Scripture and what 2 Timothy is telling us. This fits so nicely with what we heard this morning. We're going to go through this. So let's confess together. This is Lord's Day 6, and we're considering the two natures of Christ, why this is so important that He be both fully human and fully divine. Two natures united in one person. Why do we need to believe that? Why must He be truly human and truly righteous? God's justice demands it. Man has sinned. Man must pay for his sin, but a sinner cannot pay for others. The thing that here is really important to notice is the answer correctly begins with the issue of God's justice. And if we never understand that, if as we've done today in our day where we exalt or we pick the attributes of God that we like the most, and of course that would be the attribute of His love, if we never get to justice, we never really will understand the gospel, will we? We'll never really understand our need for the gospel. And His justice speaks to the fact of God's holiness, His purity, His justice, meaning that He has to punish sin. He has to punish anything that is in violation of Him and what He has declared in His law. And boys and girls, that's what sin is. Sin is a breaking of God's law, what He has said. His justice demands it. That man has sinned, man must pay for it, man can't do it. Now, if you put it in terms of this morning, there's Abram, and the Lord is cutting a covenant. And what if Abram and the Lord had walked down those pieces together? What would have happened to Abram? Not good things. Abram would have been in deep trouble, right? He's a sinner. So that covenant, though it's made with Abram, the beauty of that covenant is that we need the one who passed through. We need one who is truly human and truly righteous. And so God demands, even though Abram couldn't, God demands that a human nature, which has sin, has to pay for its sin. So that you're still answering this question. Well, then who's that mediator? And we come to question 17. Why must He also be true God? So that by the power of His divinity, He might bear the weight of God's anger in His humanity and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. So the Scriptures plainly teach that Jesus assumed a human nature. At a certain time, He took to Himself. He added to the human nature to His always divine nature. He always existed. There was never a time that Jesus was not. He is eternal. He is not made. But He added that human nature. And so we understand that if human nature has sinned, God demands that human nature which has sinned must pay for its sin. But just a mere human couldn't do it. So then why do we need somebody truly divine? Why do we need God to do it for us? And that's the amazing message of the Christian gospel. Remember last time that we considered in Samuel that we are saved by God from God. Why do we need Him to be truly divine? Because being truly divine, He is able to endure the punishment that we could never endure, that is worth an eternity's worth in hell. He's able to bear and endure that, the weight of God's anger in His humanity, and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. Now, it's very interesting that our catechism here is very clear. Jesus had to work. Are we saved by works? No, but yes, right? Question is, whose works? We're saved by works, just not our works, because we can't do it. We're saved by Christ's works. And notice how clear that's said here. He has to earn it. So what the first Adam lost when he plunged us all into sin because he didn't keep the law, the second Adam comes and what does he do? He keeps the law. He keeps it perfectly. I mean, when Jesus was being baptized, remember what he said to John? Jesus was not a sinner, but he was fulfilling all righteousness. He was fulfilling all the demands of the law in our place. And to add to that, he was making us, and I love this language, this is John 8, making us completely free. If this were dependent upon us, if the gospel rested on us, if salvation rested on us, there's no way you could ever be sure tonight you are completely free, right? It's just impossible. Romans 11 says it's either all of grace or it's all of works, but it can't be a mixture of grace and works. The reason it's all grace is because somebody had to completely work and fulfill all righteousness so that we can be assured tonight that we are completely free from the law of sin and death, meaning you're not under it for condemnation. And notice that it says to make us right with God. Remember what it said about Abram this morning? We considered Romans 4, that this was not written just for Abram. Remember, Abram believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The righteousness of Christ covered him right then and there. It was imputed to him. That means it was reckoned to him legally. That's not written just for him. For everyone who believes, this gospel, it's for you too. These things were not just written for his sake, but they're written for ours, who justifies us by the blood of Christ. Okay, so we come to this question 18. And who is this mediator, true God, and at the same time, truly human and truly righteous? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who was given us to set us completely free and to make us right with God. He's the only mediator. He is the only mediator can set us free and make us right with God. Only Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other light. There's no other door. And what a hard message to maintain in our time, isn't it? No other Savior. He's it. He's the only way. And if somebody doesn't have Him, they're not saved. Jesus is the only mediator that God has provided that's able to bear the weight of His wrath and release others from it. How do you come to know this? The Holy Gospel tells me. God Himself began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later, He proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets and portrayed it by the sacrifices and ceremonies of the law. Finally, He fulfilled it through His own dear Son. You see why we preach Genesis and Exodus and Samuel. The old dispensationalists say, well, that was an old dispensation of law. And we say, man, you've just cut the Bible in half. What a tragedy. You don't understand any of this till you see the whole picture. And the whole picture here all the way through is that this gospel in paradise was shown. In paradise, when God killed an animal and covered Adam with skins from it. And He proclaimed that He would send the Savior. And you see that develop throughout history. You see it with Abraham. The gospel so clearly, Galatians says, the gospel was preached to Abraham. And then you see it with the prophets who are constantly announcing it. And all the sacrifices that we studied, we were constantly telling of it. And so finally, Jesus came and fulfilled everything the Old Testament talked about. And boys and girls, when that big Bible that you say, where do I start with? When we start to see this picture, this whole truth of the Bible as a whole telling this grand story of redemption, the Bible just shrinks. And you're always seeing it all the way through. And you're understanding God's message, even a child can understand, is very simple. All who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Who confess and believe from the heart, they have all they need. That satisfies the wrath of God through His blood and righteousness. That's our holy gospel. And I'm going to tell you tonight, everything now that you've learned it, everything that you face going forward, everything that the devil is trying to do is unravel that very simple message. Trust me, I'll show you tonight. Let's sing tonight, number 221, "The Lord unto His Christ has said." We'll sing all three stanzas of number 221, which talks about Christ.